SNAPPT. Hello and welcome back to Snapped. As usual, I'm your host Paul.
And I'm Pete.
And this is your weekly dissection of music's greatest hits, hidden gems, and cultural resets. Each week we dive deep into a different album to try and convince you that they truly snapped.
That's right, Paul, and today we're going to be discussing my personal favourite Lady Gaga album, of course, Art Pop, or some of you may know it, Art Flop. Hashtag my favourite Gaga album is the next one. Gaga tweets and the world shakes. We're ready for the next album. Gaga herself describes it as a reverse Warholian celebration and poetic musical journey. But to many people, they know it as her least critically acclaimed journey into the pop world. It's my personal favourite. I don't know about you, Paul.
It's up there for me. It definitely lands near the top. I think it's because it is such a pop album. So yeah, we both are in agreement there.
Well, I think we can both agree that the initial single release of Applause on the 12th of August 2013 was a moment in history. Everyone was shaking, everyone was listening, everyone was painting their face.
True, even the kitty cats were putting down their little lions to listen to Applause once or twice, though I don't think they would say that on record.
Roar versus Applause.
It was the greatest battle of summer 2013, truly. Even Glee had an episode of Are You a Kitty Cat or Are You a Little Monster or something? Are you a kitty or are you a Gaga? Like, that is the real, like, binary of gay society.
That's a difficult one.
We're a Gaga.
Yeah, I guess. So, back to the album. Released on the 6th of November 2013, this was one of her weirdest eras, which is hard to say as a Gaga fan because her eras are weird, but I think there is a lack of cohesion which is impressive for how much I love the album, because I think she was bonkers in this era.
Yeah, some of the sound bites that we have got from the album leading into it made me unsure of what we were going to get when she uploaded it on album release day. There are a lot of interviews that you can look back on YouTube and watch where Gaga's talking about how she's more inspired by art than she is pop at this point. And she really wants to, as you say, reverse pop art into art pop and lead with the artistry. She works with a lot of different artists to do sculptures and paintings. So definitely feels like a different era for Gaga compared to Born This Way, where it feels like the music is at the forefront of it all. And I think the focus on art is no more evident than the album cover itself.
Yeah, so one second she's the Kunz fan and suddenly the Kunz is her.
Who?
Yeah, so Gaga meets Jeff Koons at some sort of event and hugs him from behind and is like, I love you and I've always loved you. And it then begun the collaboration between her and him. The cover itself is almost portraying Gaga as a deity, like a Greek goddess, with her legs spread open and a mystical crystal ball of blue in the middle, in between her legs, in reference to the sexual nature of the album, but also they talk about in interviews how the crystal ball is all about transcendence and how you can transcend art and pop. And in the background, there's a lot of Greek mythology, including Apollo, the god of music, who turns Daphne into a tree.
Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Jeepers. I couldn't think of what hers was.
Jeepers! Now who's the damsel in distress?
Me?
But yeah, I think it really reflects the album, and it got a lot of commercial praise for how interesting and visually striking it was, and initially supposed to be pressed with foil, as that is how Jeff Koons had visualized it.
It's so funny that you say that, because I remember when the album dropped, my friends and I, my little gay squad, ran to HMV into town to try and find an album with the pink foil, because we were like, we're going to find it. It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
No way.
And I actually have one of the pink foil art pop covers.
You do?
I do, yeah, I do.
And not me finding this out live on the pod.
That's crazy. I literally had my notes I was going to tell you and you already preluded it with your discussion. I can't believe that.
Suddenly the pink foil is me.
Suddenly the pink foil is in my attic. Like, I need to dig it out for when this goes live. That's really crazy. But yeah, I think the album cover sums up the album really well. I think there's such a striking image of her as the deity, but also the grayscale element of her on the cover versus all the color going on in the background. Kind of a duality for how maybe numb or stone-like she felt inside while the world around her was so full of color and so bright. And maybe the music, as you say, Apollo's in the background, sort of symbolizes that hope and joy for her when the reality of life is pretty crappy sometimes. I think that concept is pretty well represented there.
Yeah, I think the album is so high concept that she is almost disappointed that people didn't get it, but also she wanted you to feel smart for getting it at the time.
Yeah, it's intentional and it's weird for the sake of being weird, but also to make people think and reflect instead of it being just a transitory piece of music. In one of the interviews before the album, she says that pop music is like the cum shot. It's exciting and feels good, but there's not a lot of substance there and it's not the purpose of anything. And she wanted to put purpose back into pop with this album. And it, I think even from the cover, that's her intention. And we kind of see that throughout the entire era. So I think once we dig a bit more into it, we'll see that come out even more. And now we're going to give some applause to our local advertisers.
Rocket number 9 can take you there. After a quick stop at Venus.
Okay, but diving right back into art pop, I think it's time we talk about Applause, the rollout, and specifically the visuals. Gaga thinks this is a very visual album. The Applause music video comes out 1 week after the single comes out. It's a weird video, Pete.
I love it. It gets me in the mood. It gets me going. Like, if it was playing in the background of, like, pre-drinks, I would be clapping.
You'll be giving her a lot of applause, that's for sure. I think the music video is so colorful and so representative of the era to me. I think of R-pop, I think of the Applause music video, I think of the makeup, the fact that it's almost like her face is a blank canvas where things are being applied and she's putting on a different face to go out and do her music, her career, her appearances. I feel like it's very deep and very telling in a way that doesn't almost look like it from the onset.
The fact that there are some scenes completely in black and white and a lot of colourful scenes, you're kind of comparing her struggle behind the scenes to then her being presented as this almost magic trick when she comes out of the top hat and she's made to perform and made to make a scene and then cut to her on a flat one-person mattress in an empty room. It's very... this is my public persona, this is my private persona, and I need applause for both of them.
Oh my god, yeah, that's a really good analogy between the two. And because you seem to have such a good understanding of the visuals, what do you think the swan is all about when her head morphs under the top of a swan?
I don't know about if the years match up, but is that a Black Swan reference?
I think it is. I think I read that somewhere too. And again, that's just another element of a good and bad side to someone. A lot of mental health struggles and how being famous or being in the public eye can actually be detrimental to your overall health. And I think this is the first time she really speaks out about the fact that she's struggling in a lot of ways with the fame. I know the fame monster touches on it, but this is her prettiest package with the darkest substance in a lot of ways.
So what was the initial rollout of the tracks on the album? Like, when was the first time that you heard any of the tracks other than Applause?
I think the backstory for a lot of this is super interesting because it felt like Gaga was unsure of the direction to take the album for the first time. I feel like with her first albums, The Fame Monster and Born This Way, the rollout is very calculated and it's very intentional. With art pop, less so. For those of you who weren't living it in real time, in September 1st of 2013, 2 months before the album drops, she does a performance at the Apple Music Festival and she premieres a lot of the songs from this album. She performs Aura, Manicure, Swine, Jewels and Drugs, and Sex Dreams, and premiering them all for the very first time. People hadn't heard them before. And it was almost like a release of the first half of the album, 2 or 3 months beforehand. Just after the festival, Gaga then puts out a tweet asking fans which single should come next out of the songs that he performed. And it's almost, for me, her testing the bathwater to see how hot it is. What would be the best next single from this album to follow Applause?
I think it's interesting, and we will touch on this later, but she seems to be very collaborative in this era with the fans. I think she knew the strength of the Little Monsters at this point, and she wanted to do what was best for her fan base.
This does feel like a love letter to the fans in a lot of ways, especially since Applause is genuinely all about her being injured after the Born This Way ball tour and thinking, okay, the only way I can actually recover and get through this mentally is because I know I have my fans to go back to and get ready for again. So I think you're right. It feels like she's working with the fans, which is a positive, but it also feels like she's being steered by outside forces, which is a bit more negative. A lot of it feels like a struggle between her record label and also her creative vision as well. And one of the more funny tidbits from this era is that Gaga actually really wanted Aura to be released as the first single. It was originally titled Burqa and then changed due to some political incorrectness with that title, but she was really passionate about releasing it as the first single, so much so that 1 week before Applause dropped, she makes a fake account on her fan website Gaga Daily called Boris Is Here. Nicki Minaj fans are triggered.
Yes, hello, Prime Minister Boris. It's Nicki Minaj.
And releases a link to the demo version of Aura on SoundCloud. It gets really positive fan reaction, but it feels like her rebelling a little bit. I don't know what you feel about that.
Yeah, I actually saw that one of the staff members at Gaga Daily was talking about the day that it happened and how they had banned Boris. Boris?
We should ban Boris.
But when they tracked the IP address, it was to Chicago, which is where she was staying with her boyfriend at that time, so they clocked Miss Gaga.
Yeah, I think Gaga held her hands up at the tour and said to one of her fans in the meet and greet that it was her and that she just really wanted that song to come out first. And I think one thing I really want to find out from you, and we talked about it last time with Taylor, would you have put Applause as the first single? Do you think there was a better song in there, Aura potentially, or something else?
I think Applause is the most radio friendly of the songs. I think it has a clear message of fan love and how much they love Gaga, and I think it's a very exciting way to start an era. I don't think it is necessarily very representative of art pop. I think even when you listen to it with Applause as the last track, it does kind of feel tacked on to me after how deep the other songs are underneath. I think when you dig underneath Applause, you don't find anything else. For me, Aura is a very representative song of the era, with her wanting to take off everything and just show everyone who she was underneath. But truly, we're here just to say Justice for Venus. Why was that not a single?
Yeah, we're going to get into that, but I think if I could put Venus as the second single, I would have done so. I think that Applause is a pretty solid first single. It sums up the message she wanted to give out to her fans. Maybe a promo single, sure, but it's a solid shout. But Venus needed to be single number two. We needed to see her in that shell bra around the world, on a music video, anything.
Not Lady Aphrodite's seashell bikini.
Garden panty. Venus.
Speaking of Venus, we're going to go into our snaps and flops of the album. So give us a wee snapped.
Okay, I have a lot here, but I think we should start with Venus.
Take off?
Pop off. She popped off. Because she got in that rocket, she went to number 9, and it's just so camp. I know a lot of people don't like the bridge, but I want to start there. She literally taught me the planets. Like, I am in third year science, and I'm learning.
Mars.
Jupiter. Like, she literally, I know the solar system. She confirms Pluto is a planet. NASA actually had to change it back and make it a planet again just so this made sense. No, the imagery of this song, of the seashell bikini, garden panty, she did a few live performances of it, and it was actually supposed to be the second single before she said it would Do What You Want because it got a bit more traction. And I just feel like it would have been a better fit because it's very pop-tastic. I don't know how to describe it. What would you say?
It's for the gays.
It's for the gays, it's for the girls, and it's for the theys. And straight people don't need to get it. Not everybody's going to.
They just stay on Earth, but we're going to Jupiter.
I don't know if you remember, but this is around the time that Gaga was actually going to go to space and perform. Surely this would have been on the track list. It's really fun, it's not too serious, and it's about sex. But in a nice, fun, poppy way. And I would just love to have seen the visuals for it. I really love Venus. I have a striking suspicion I know what your first snap is going to be, people. I'll let you tell everybody what that one is.
Well, actually, my favourite song of all time is on this album. My favourite song of all time is, of course, GUI. I just can't get enough of this song. I could listen to it on a non-stop repeat. I could watch the music video over and over again. I just love it, and I don't know why there's crack in this song.
It's laced with it.
The music video, I just, wow. in lockdown, we actually started watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
I've had enough of you, you beast.
Beast?
Yeah.
How dare you?
We've completed the series now, and one day when Paul said, let's watch the GUI music video, I was like, yes, of course. I've watched it many times in my life. But when I saw my top three probably housewives sitting there playing the harp, playing the guitar, playing the cello, it really added something extra to the whole experience. I can't explain it. I found a way to love a song I loved even more. The music video, other than that, is so cool, with Gaga giving complete Gaga visuals, even in the extended music video, which has our pop, the song, into Venus, into GUI, into Manicure. This is art. Like, the concept of the video starting with businessmen throwing money over her dead body.
Right.
Then her being collected by, I'm guessing, the gays, and brought to gay heaven, where she can be bathed in flowers and resurrected as this phoenix rising from the ashes into this reality TV inspired life with Andy Cohen as God. And she just eats in every single scene except the Minecraft scene. But
well, she must have got a brand sponsorship or something. I don't know how that got in there, but she also brought Jesus and Michael Jackson back from the dead at the same time, so that's iconic.
And that Minecraft YouTuber that she chose.
It's a weird mix, but it works so well. And I think you're right. There's a lot of deep imagery about how fame and the man has got her down, but her gaze always lifts her back up. And it's very similar in messaging to Applause, how this has saved her life. I think that's really interesting.
I'm thinking of another song, but what could it be, Paul?
Okay, for my snaps, I have to put Gypsy here. I thought it was a very popular song based on my own personal bias. If the FBI is listening, I didn't do this. This is hypothetical, but I did download the album when it leaked a few weeks before, and Gypsy was the first one that really stuck for me. I really loved it. I think it's such a honest representation of where she was at in her life. She was kind of lost, didn't have a home, but her touring and going around the world and seeing her fans, that was her home. Performing for people gave her a place and a community, and I think that song is standing up for everyone, including the gay rights, with, well, maybe someday in Jakarta. Mm-hmm. I just think it's fun, and it just goes off at the end. You could just bop along with it. It obviously means a lot to Gaga. She closed the Art Rave tour with it, so it has a special place in her heart, and for me it snaps. I don't think it's aged as well as some of the other bops on the album. I would always listen to it. It was once my favorite Gaga song.
Oh wow.
It is still a really strong track, and I would always pick it up and give it a good listen. It's one of her more upbeat ballads. I kind of skew towards it and thinking that she reinvented how she performs those piano ballads on tour and stuff like that.
Do you think it's controversial that the word burqa was a no-no, but Gypsy was fine?
I don't think she could release it today with the same connotation. I think we've moved past using that sort of verbiage. I think the intention of the song is so uplifting and inclusive, where I guess the song Aura is about hiding, and the implication that you're using the burqa to hide something rather than a statement of power and a religious statement, I guess, is the difference there. One is a community and one is a religion.
I actually once saw a gay wedding video where their first dance was to the first bars of Gypsy.
Okay, I don't like it that much. I think that's a bit far. I actually think I saw one where it was Stupid Love as well. The gays will play anything as long as it's by Gaga.
Speaking of her weaker ballads, let's go over to the flops and see who lives there.
Okay, no surprise here. I just don't like the song Dope. I think it's very drab and doesn't really go anywhere. For me, it just gets lost in the shuffle of really good bops in the album. It comes right after Mary Jane Holland, which is a really upbeat song. It's really fun. Then it just feels like it takes the energy away from the album and the momentum too. And it feels like she's covering the same sort of ground she has before in other love songs like You and I on Born This Way. It's like a retreading that doesn't really go anywhere. I'd rather just skip it and move right on the Gypsy and leave Dope as a nope.
Dope the song does lead into the album's concept of there are two sides to each aspect of her life, and I think how upbeat Mary Jane Holland is and then how downbeat, and her vocals are very raw on Dope. It's supposed to feel jarring,
right,
as a concept, but I don't think it makes it a fun listen or let's stick on Dope.
It's not the worst song on the album, but I bet you're going to tell me what is.
Jewels and drugs, baby, hustle.
No, not her rap era.
Jewels and drugs has flavor in parts. I can't be a complete hater. Jewels and drugs is Gaga's endgame, where her section is serviceable, but there's just a lot of man, a lot of different beats on this song. I think it sounds very clunky. I get that she was trying to do something different, and I appreciate that. I just don't personally like it, and I think it's renowned as the least favorite fan song on this album.
Yeah, I remember she performed it at the Apple Music Festival and brought out four men who I'd never heard of in my life and could do without hearing again. And I was just speechless, no pun intended, at the disrespect that I had to watch. I think she's going a bit EDM. There are flavors of it on Swine. That sort of music she's trying to experiment with. But it just feels very experimental and not very refined. The beat drop is insane. I skip it every time.
Speaking of experimental, I think we can both agree that the last choice is shocking based on its name, but it's just not enjoyable, is it?
It's got to be art pop. What does art pop mean?
It could mean anything.
But it could also simultaneously mean nothing. I don't understand this song. It's weird, and it is too experimental for me. Maybe I just don't get it. Maybe I don't understand it. But for me, it just feels very one note and doesn't really build. There's no real progression in the song. And I feel like, especially for the title track of the album, what's it's supposed to sum the whole album up, I'm more confused after listening than beforehand. It doesn't excite me at all. And I'm sad to say that because the one thing Gaga isn't usually is boring.
Coming off the Fame and Born This Way having such incredible title tracks, I think it is a disappointment. It also sounds like you're in an aquarium when you're listening. The concept of the song is also the concept of the name of the album, of melding art and pop, and how her fans can do that for her through her. But we got that when we read the album title. For me, I don't need a song spelling out that we could do it like we are doing it.
Yeah, I think we could just cut the song overall and the album could still be called Art Pop. I think Art Pop's a really good name for the album. I think it encapsulates what she's trying to do really well. The song feels like she just needed to put a title track on there just to wrap it up.
While we're on the subject of the track list, I think we do need to deep dive into the more serious nature of what she was trying to convey to us at this time. A lot of things were coming out of the woodwork from her. A lot of emotions, and she was relying on a lot of vices in her life, like alcohol, drugs, sex, and I think she really wanted to be open with her fans about what was happening and how she was processing this.
It feels very raw in messaging. A lot of the songs come out of something that's happened to her in her personal life. She really comes out in this era to say that she was sexually assaulted at the start of her career by people in power, men specifically, who were trying to take advantage of her and promised her the fame. And on songs like Swine, it shows that she really feels some level of disgust at the way they behaved and how that sexual assault really impacted her personally.
A few of the songs do have a light side and a dark side, as we said, with Mary Jane Holland and Dope. Mary Jane Holland is all about how she needs marijuana for her anxiety, to the point where she's addicted to it. And then Dope is her apology to the people she knew in her life for the state that she was in at that time.
Right.
It's very difficult once you start to unpick these songs that you could just casually listen to and you see that there's a lot of dark underneath that is, as you said, hidden in a very colorful, artsy box. Swine is such a dirty, grungy song which depicts how she feels about sex post-rape versus GUI, where she feels really empowered by the position that she's in.
Exactly. It's almost like her deepest diaries that we're watching, and it's almost too intimate that we're seeing some of these details, but it's also great that she's having these conversations so that other people who have experienced the same thing know that there are other people out there. I think one thing that's really interesting is that there are a few songs about sex, like Sex Dreams or Manicure, that are just more bubbly pop songs about sex. And it shows that, I guess, she has been able to, in some ways, overcome her past. Some of that is never fully processed. And again, that's the duality of happiness and sadness all in the one album.
Also, we should point out that if you do go and stream our pop, which you should on Spotify, you will see that there is a song that is no longer available, which is, of course, Do What You Want, the second single featuring a man who we don't support and we should never have supported.
True.
But it is again another song depicting this really awful mental place that she's been in. And I do always think that's such a strange song choice for a single. However, she has released the superior version featuring Christina Aguilera.
Do you want me to call Christina Aguilera?
Stream that version on Spotify.
Stream that version and do not try and find the other version, nor the controversial music video.
If we take a look at the sequencing of the album, it starts off with Aura saying, "I killed my former aunt," and we're not sure what that means, but it seems like Gaga's leaving behind a former side of herself. And the rest of the album depicts an up and down cycle of happiness and depression and moving through all the trauma and experiences in her life, ending with Gypsy and Applause, two songs about celebrating her fan base and how much she relies on them to get through these hard times. And I think when you strip it right back, the entire purpose of the album is just to say thank you to her fans and letting them in on who she is and taking the wall back. I think if you slap Stephanie Germanata on this instead of Lady Gaga, we would have the same album. It feels more real, personal and raw, and a love letter at the end of the day.
I read a statement from her where she said she would stand in front of the mirror and take her wigs and her eccentric costumes and makeup off and really just wanted to show us that stripped back girl who's underneath all the glamour and colour of Lady Gaga.
Behind the aura.
And that's what she wanted to put in the album. And I think that's why in a lot of her performances she is wearing that ball cap. And she doesn't want to be known for what she's wearing in this era. I think she's really letting a stream of consciousness out, which doesn't always make sense, especially not when compared to the other pop girls at the time. But I think it's what she needed to do to become the Phoenix from the GUI music video.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Speaking of good points, let's go to one of our sponsors.
Greetings from Eros. Are you sick of having sex dreams? Download Mancure today to find your GUI or GIRL. We don't discriminate. We promise your hands won't be the only things clapping. Available now on iOS and Android.
Is that Donatella at the Snappies? I could not believe it. Let's go to the very first category with Paul for cringiest line.
Speaking of Donatella, really I just had to dive into the lyrics of that song to find out my cringiest line. And I'm between two pretty chunky paragraphs. She says a lot of things on this song I don't love. One of them is, "Walk down the runway but don't puke. You just had a salad today. Boulangerie." Now does that not mean bakery? I don't get that.
Boo, tomato, tomato, tomato.
Stop! But now we're back over to Pete to present the award for Weirdest Fact.
This is the most difficult award to give in Gaga's Weirdest Era. But a fact that made me laugh was that I found out that China's Ministry of Culture approved the uncensored release of Art Pop. However, the Chinese release of the cover covered her legs in fishnet stockings and her blue gazing bowl was made massive to cover her boobs.
Literally, like, people need to Google this if they haven't seen it. The leggings that they give her are homophobic. They're vile.
Speaking of vile, let's go over to Paul for ugliest merch.
The merch on this era is very DIY, Etsy shop chic. You need to look this up, but it's literally just a t-shirt that says Lady Fucking Gay Gay. Black shirt, white font, Times New Roman. It is literally awful. And you know it was $40. Like, you know people were paying a lot of money for this at the ball.
I would spend $40 on that top.
There is one that is her in, like, the Venus V pose. And they've superimposed it over the words yas, so she's the Y, or Slay, and she's the Y at the end. Now, I want those.
That was fighting for gay rights, mm-hmm. and people were killed.
And talking of performances, we're going to head over to Pete with the best live performance from the R-pop era.
The Muppets Holiday Spectacular.
Was it spectacular?
Mother Monster said, safe sex, in her brown condom look, alongside fracking icon.
Oh, the fracking?
RuPaul comes out to duet to fashion exclamation mark.
It's fashion. It's fashion. It's fashion? Is it wait, what is it, fashion? It's fashion. To say.
And it's actually really good. I wish he would release that on Spotify. Rue is giving his most energetic performance since 1998. He actually moves and sings. It's just a lot of fun. Speaking of fashion icons, what is her best look of this era, Paul?
Okay, so number one is the flying dress that she premiered with the album. And it looks like she just walks into this, like, life-size drone and just takes off in the air. But my actual favorite is just a casual look walking around the streets of New York City with brown hair and her applause chaotic art makeup on her face. And I just feel like it represents the era so well because it feels more Stephanie. It feels like she's showing that alternative side to herself, and it really is stripped back. And that's a wrap at this week's Snappy Awards. Please, please, everyone, hold your applause. And back over to the studio with Pete.
Now we're settled back into the studio, I think we should start wrapping up our final thoughts on the album. I'm going to begin this discussion with a subject that has become very relevant in the past year, which is, what do you think Gaga's opinion of this album is? She seems very indifferent about most of the songs.
It almost feels like R-pop is the black sheep in Gaga's discography, and she doesn't really reference it very much or play any of the songs. And it almost seems as though she doesn't feel like any of the songs are very big hits from the album, which means she doesn't really see it as a commercial success. And we've talked a lot about how GUI is such an iconic bop for the gays, but it doesn't move anyone else.
It really was the nail in the coffin of locals' knowledge of Gaga and what she was doing and everyone eating up every single song she released. Suddenly there was no movement and everyone dropped the toy, they didn't want to play with her anymore. And I think she really felt misunderstood by the general public. She thought the album was too experimental, and even in the past year, when there was a resurgence in people hashtag buy R-pop on iTunes, she really opened up about how that album broke her as an artist. She thought she had failed, she thought that no one liked it, and to see people celebrating the thing that she thought was the worst in her discography must have meant a lot to her.
I think Do What You Want being released as a second single was the first big misstep that she took, and it all crumbled apart from underneath her after that because it didn't really chart very well. It was then taken off Spotify, GUI flopped, and that all coincided in an era where pop girlies were starting to phase out. In 2013, 2014, we had Katy Perry with Prism, which did well, but wasn't as good as Teenage Dream. Britney with Britney Jean didn't do very well. Bionic by Christina Aguilera also kind of flopped. The heyday of pop music dominating the charts seems to be falling away for the rise of other genres and other artists. And it seems like the pop renaissance was truly over at this point.
But Gaga went out of this era with a bang. And I do believe one of our reporters was there in the trenches.
The jockstraps were out, everybody's having some sex dreams, some Mary Jane Holland. Yes, I did go and see the Art Rave R-Pop Ball down in Dublin back in 2014. The tour was quite big for Gaga. It had 79 dates around the world and it generated revenue of 83 million for her. So it definitely didn't flop. It was a very good concert and very fun. As I said before, she ended it with Gypsy, which was very poetic. And it was just a very fun time and very energetic. And it didn't feel heavy. Even the visuals of the tour were very bright, colourful. She had loads of different colour wigs and outfits. And it really felt like a Lady Gaga concert. And it was the last one that I had the opportunity to see in person. It's just weird to think that seeing everybody celebrate the album and having Gaga be so happy with it, that commercially and critically, it wasn't living up to the rest of her albums that had came before it that were winning Grammys. They were being nominated for VMAs and were really dominating the award season as well as the end of year charts.
It's really interesting to look at this album in succession with the fame The Fame Monster and Born This Way, all commercially succeeding, winning awards. Gaga was the artist on the radio. Everyone knew her. Everyone was talking about her every week. She was in the newspapers. Everyone wanted a bit of Gaga. And then this is her dud, which is so bizarre to me as it is my favorite album. And I think it really impacts where she goes next. As a Gaga fan at the time, how did you view this change in her as an icon?
I was definitely of the opinion that Art Pop was very successful in terms of what I wanted from Gaga, but clearly that was no longer the general public's consensus. And to see what happened next is a bit painful for me, because it feels like she's a gay icon that kind of skews straight. Her next steps were a lot more palatable for the general public. She released Cheek to Cheek, the duet album with Tony Bennett, back in 2014, less than a year after Art Pop, and the two could not be more different. And it feels like she no longer knew which way to be led, whether it would be by her artistry, like Art Pop, or things that would be seen to be critically successful, such as Cheek to Cheek or the single Till It Happens 2 that she releases in 2015. And we get a bit of a drought from Gaga, except for these instances. And I wonder, was she sitting trying to work out what her next steps would be and what direction she would go in next? And we kind of figure out a few years later what direction that is.
The next glimmer of pop Gaga we would get wouldn't be until A Star Is Born, where she is a country singer who then is almost pushed into pop fame. And we get pop icon Ali, a true ally, on the billboards. I remember the day The Cure was released, I thought, here she is, she's back. And then to find out that it was an offcut of fake pop star Ali in A Star Is Born that Gaga decided to throw at us like a treat, which we all ate up, but it didn't really signal where she was going next. I think an interesting parallel is between The Cure and I'm on a Roll by Ashley O, both of which are sung by fake pop stars in a fictional setting, both of which will be played in many a gay nightclub tonight. They are both bops and bangers and are almost, if you asked an AI to create a pop song, and we eat it up every time. They're created as a pastiche of what gay people would seem to like, and we like it anyway. So I just think more of that, please. I love The Cure. It's really meeting in the middle of where she was going and where we were, and I think it still slaps to today.
I also think her releasing on Easter Sunday is so iconic, like the rebirth of her pop career. Maybe we're not sure where that goes after that, but it's such an allegory of her coming back, rising from the dead, even if it is just to release a B-side from a movie. And speaking of offcuts, we're hearing an awful lot more about Art Pop 2 from producer of the album DJ White Shadow in the last year, ever since Art Pop was trending back in 2020. It's very interesting to think that there is a whole other side of this album that we didn't hear. And it seems as though Gaga was telling us there would be a part 2 of this album back in 2013. And I guess the flopping of the album stopped that from being released, and she moved in the new direction that we talked about. But it'd be very interesting to see whether she would put that out now, almost in a Gaga's version-esque release.
Yeah, there are a lot of unreleased songs floating around the internet, and a lot of them are bops and bangers, so I'd be very interested to see into that alternate reality where we do get Art Pop 2 and she continues her reign as Queen of Pop.
And I really think, in conclusion, ways gay people get to choose our flop eras, and I want to choose Art Pop. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Snapped Pod. I have been Paul.
And I've been Pete.
And please feel free to check us out on all social medias at Snapped Pod. Give us a like, give us a follow, and stay tuned for an exclusive sneak peek of next week's episode.